Chazor zeichen nishus abachi chas kushagmi v'am Yehuda mesech l'shabes daf tzadik tes. Nishus says, shtei gezuz terois. Rav Nir Ruchia said, the area is underneath the wagons of the Leviim in the Midbar, and in between the wagons and on the sides of the wagons, between the side wall and the wagon wheel, all have a din of Rishus Rabbim. Abaye said the space between the two parallel wagons was equal to the length of a wagon, which was 5 amas. Why did the wagon have to be 5 amas long? If the boards were put to carry the crushim, right? If the crushim were put on their width, which was only 1.5 amas, the maximum number of piles could have been 3, which for a total of 4.5 amas is needed. So why do you need 5? And if they were piled up on their width, on their depth, which was 1 amah, they could have been up to 4 piles. But again, they would only need 4 amas, really 4.5, because you need a little space for the rings, but still, you don't need more than 4.5. And where it says, it's important for the boards not to be pressed up against each other to have some space, therefore, 4.5 wouldn't be enough, they needed 5. I always said the two sides of the wagon together were as wide as the wagon itself, so it means each side was 2.5 amas. The Gemara explains, you needed that wider board, that wider base of the wagon, so it kept the crusher more steady. Whereas, so we learn from the traveling of the wagons that Rishus HaRabim has to be 16 amas wide, but now if you look at the width of the two wagons with the space in between, it was only 15 amas wide. So how do we get to a Rishus HaRabim that has to be 16 amas wide? The Gemara says the 16th amah is added for a half of amah all around on the outer sides for a levi to walk around and straighten the boards that maybe started falling off. That's how you get to a total of 16 amas for Rishus HaRabim. Zok the Mishnah, if a ditch was dug in Rishus HaRabim and the dirt that was dug up was put around like a mound around, or if there's a rock in Rishus HaRabim, either of which are 10 tefachim tall with an area of 4x4 tefachim, if someone takes something from them and brings it into Rishus HaRabim or puts something from the Rishus HaRabim onto them, he's chayiv, because those areas have the status of Rishus HaYochid. If the mound or the rock are smaller than these dimensions, he's potter. Why does the Mishnah mention the case of where you have a ditch with the mound of dirt around it, so it's an above ground type of structure, which is essentially the same case as a rock? The Mishnah should have just said a ditch and a rock, where they, therefore it's teaching one that goes below ground and one that goes above ground. From the fact that the Mishnah does say that, the Mishnah seems to be approved to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the ditch and the mound around it combine to make the necessary height of 10 tefachim to classify the ditch as Rishus HaYochid. There's a braisa that says Rabbi Yochanan as well. If Mardchai asked Rava, what if someone throws an object from Rishus HaRabim on top of a board which is 4x4 tefachim and 10 tefachim high, so clearly Rishus HaYochid. But the question is he chai because he transferred Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, or do you say he's potter because Lamaisa, the object was above 10 tefachim and then landed into Rishus HaYochid, and above 10 tefachim in Rishus HaRabim is a makom patur. So Abazai said maybe it came from a makom patur into Rishus HaYochid and therefore it'll be potter. Rava said this can be answered from our Mishnah. Mordechai then asked Rabbi Yosef and then he asked Abaye, and they both also said it could be learned from our Mishnah. He wasn't convinced. But he said, look at our Mishnah. If the rock is 10 tefachim high, that means whatever is put on the rock came from an area above 10 tefachim high, and still you see that he's chayiv. It must be that he's chayiv. The Malcha says from the Mishnah, so right, the Mishnah can be discussing a needle whose height is so small that it's considered to have never to have really gone into the makom patur. Even though the needle has some type of mamoshes to it, but still the Mishnah could be discussing where the rock has a little bit of a ledge, just less than 10 tefachim off the ground, but because it's part of the rock, it also gets a din of Rishus HaYochid, so therefore it's no raya. Rabbi Yochanan asks, does the top of a wall that encloses an area and makes the area into Rishus HaYochid, does the top of that wall automatically get the din of Rishus HaYochid also? Or is it a makom patur unless it has 4x4 tefachim on its own? Ula answers, it's a kal v'chomer. If it can make another area into Rishus HaYochid, for sure it itself is part of it and becomes Rishus HaYochid as well. Rabbi Yochanan asks, if it's a dish that's 9 tefachim deep and someone digs out an additional tefach of dirt and throws that dirt into the adjacent Rishus HaRabim, is he chayev because at the moment that the ditch is 10 tefachim deep and it becomes Rishus HaYochid, that's when he's throwing it out and he's throwing it into Rishus HaRabim? Or maybe he's potter because the ditch wasn't Rishus HaYochid before the dirt was lifted. So is he chayev or is he potter? And if we're going to say that he's potter because it's not Rishus HaYochid before he lifted the dirt, what if the ditch is 10 tefachim deep and he takes dirt from Rishus HaRabim and throws it into the ditch, thereby making it less than 10 tefachim? Do you say he's chayev because he threw dirt from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, which doesn't lose its status until after the Hanukkah already takes place? Or do we say that it loses its status of Rishus HaYochid as the Hanukkah takes place, and therefore he did not throw it into Rishus HaYochid, and therefore he's not chayev? Mara says we can answer the second question from an explanation that Rabbi Yochanan gave elsewhere. Mishnah says if someone throws an item below 10 tefachim at a wall 4 amas away in Rishus HaRabim, he's chayev. Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah is discussing where it's a cake of figs, a sticky cake of figs, it's thrown so it doesn't bounce off the wall back, but it stays right there. If it stays like there, right there, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it means the figs never actually go the full 4 amas because they stick to the wall and they protrude back into the 4 amas that he's throwing, and yet he's chayiv. His throwing makes the wall less than 4 amas away and still he's chayiv. Seems to be the same case as where he throws the dirt into the 10 tefachim deep ditch, and so he should be chayiv over there also. Mora says the cases are different because the cases of figs, the figs are not meant to be left, they're not going to become a bend to the wall, but the dirt is thrown into the ditch, it is meant to be left, it becomes bottled to the ditch, and that's why it may be considered to become part of the ditch right away when he throws it in. Rava asked, if there are poles that are 10 tefachim high in the Rishus HaRabim and someone throws a board that's 4x4 tefachim on top of that pole, thereby creating a Rishus HaYochid, is he chayiv for throwing the board up there or not? More, it seems to be the same question as Rabbi Yochanan, whether one is chayiv for an action that creates the rishus. More explains, Rav is asking where someone threw up the board with another object already on the board. His question is, even if we say someone's potter for throwing up the board alone, is he chayiv for the object on top of the board? Maybe since they're thrown together, if he's potter for the board, he's also potter for the object that's thrown on top of it. On the other hand, since it's impossible that the object doesn't bounce off the board when it lands, so it's as if the Rishus HaYachad was created, was placement of the board, and the object is then placed into an established Rishus HaYachad after it bounces up and it lands. To that question, the Gemara leaves with a teiku. Rav said it's clear that taking off water is considered to be an akira. Taking off water from water is considered to be an akira because that's its natural state of resting. It's also clear that a nut floating in the water is not considered to be resting. Rav asks, what if a nut is in a keli which is flowing on the water? Is a nut at rest because it sits in the keli, or is it not at rest because the keli is floating? Teiku. With regard to oil that's floating on top of water, that's subject to machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbanon as to whether oil is one with the water and therefore at rest, or because it doesn't mix, maybe it's considered to be floating on the water.